Welcome to Corgi Confident. My name's Alyssa. I am the self-proclaimed Corgi Queen. Let's talk corgis. What is up, everyone? It is Wiggle Butt Wednesday, where I talk all things corgi. And so for today, we are going to be talking about the social media corgi. So the corgis that you see on social media. And why I started my social media pages and really this podcast about my corgis. And it all kind of started with a comment my breeder had said in one of our various email exchanges. And she had said that people come to her looking for that typical social media corgi. And so what is that? They are specifically Pembroke Welsh corgis. There's two different kinds of corgis. So we're going to be talking specifically Pembrokes. They are the top 10, in the top 10 most popular dog breeds right now. And before I had a corgi, before I had done research, I had noticed, and I still do notice this, but in social media, they're usually shown as being overweight. They're shown as being chunky. A lot of people use that as an excuse of why their dogs are overweight. They say, well, corgis are supposed to look like that. And they're portrayed as being lazy, couch potatoes. You see a lot of videos and pictures of them just kind of laying around the house. And then I would also see a lot of air quote funny videos of two corgis like growling and like lip curling at each other, and then they put some kind of funny commentary about like best friends fighting or married couple fighting or brothers and sisters fighting or whatever. But these two dogs were not being funny. They were actually like about to fight each other. And then there would be like other quote unquote funny videos. There was another one that I remember where like a cabbage or something like that is being taken away from this corgi, and it's like tearing at this cabbage like pretty aggressively. And those were kind of the different things that I was consuming in social media about corgis. And so when I had actually done my research about them, I realized that a lot of those things that I was seeing wasn't actually true to the breed. And so I was like, well, I'm going to start some social media pages to show a corgi that is true to the breed, because you don't really see that at all. So I wanted to show an actual true representation of the breed, since they are a really popular dog. I wanted people to consume media about them that was actually truthful. So people who maybe wanted to get a corgi actually knew what they were getting into, because they can be a challenge to own, and how they're portrayed in social media isn't really how they are. So one of the things with my social media pages that I try to show is a fit corgi. Like I had mentioned before, a lot of videos show them as being really, really chunky, and then a lot of people are like, well, that's just how the breed's supposed to look. They're supposed to look like that. They're not supposed to look like that. They're supposed to be about 20 to 30 pounds, and they aren't supposed to be just a potato all the way through. They are supposed to have a waist. They are supposed to have a deep chest with a high tuck up. They are supposed to have a more defined body than just being a straight loaf of bread. So I definitely wanted to show a fit corgi, or at least a corgi at a healthy weight. So Maslow is 22 pounds, and he is extremely fit. Most of that weight, honestly, is probably muscle, because at about 7 or 8 months old, he got to like 17, 18 pounds. And then he didn't really gain more weight until he was like a year and a half. Then he started getting more weight on him. He only just recently hit 22 pounds. So I definitely think it's more muscle weight, because his body condition hasn't really changed at all. And I actually have trouble getting him to gain weight because he's burning so many calories. He eats at least 2 cups a day, and that's not including all the calories, like 2 cups of kibble a day, and that's not including all the calories that he gets from treats from his various trainings. And he gets some high-value treats. He gets some pretty high-calorie stuff for his training classes and his trick training. And he does a lot of sports, so he gets a lot of calories in them, or in him. And one of the reasons I wanted to show a fit corgi is because obesity is actually really bad for the breed. A lot of people know about DM. It is a genetic disease in corgis, but obesity can actually mimic the symptoms of DM for corgis. And if you think about it, their little legs, their long backs, if you add so much weight on them, like, that's not good for their back at all. It does give them back issues. Obesity really, for any dog, isn't an ideal thing at all, but since this is a corgi-specific podcast, we're going to be talking about corgis. But obesity in corgis, it's particularly bad. It does have a lot of effect on them later in life. And they can be a really fit and healthy dog. They are extremely food-motivated, although Maslow hasn't had the typical corgi problems when it comes to food. He's very picky. And he can basically eat whatever he wants. But in general, you do have to watch their food intake because they are really, you know, interested in food and food motivated, and they want to eat everything in sight. But you do have to make sure that you limit how much they eat, because you don't want them to be obese. You want them to maintain a healthy weight. One of the other reasons I started social media was to show how active they are. Again, like I mentioned before, they're portrayed as being this lazy, like, house dog, right? When that's not true. They're the smallest herding breed. Pembroke Welsh Corgis are the smallest herding breed. So they are an extremely active dog. Extremely, extremely active. And they can be great for sports. That's one of the reasons why I do so many sports with Maslow, is because he is so active. And he can do it. But they were originally bred to herd cattle. Like, these are some feisty, active little dogs. They are not lazy couch potatoes by any means at all. And I also wanted to show that with that herding dog mentality also comes some other issues. So they sometimes aren't best for families with young kids because they do tend to herd children and other pets. So sometimes that's not best for young kids. And I do know some that are family dogs and they do well. So obviously it's not every dog, but it's something to think about. They can also be nippy. Again, herding breed, they tend to nip at the heels. So that is something to be prepared for. And they're a working breed. They are a working dog. And I don't think that's shown in social media nowadays. I just don't think that's what you see at all. You know, you see a lot of other dogs, you know, a lot of people know like what border collies were bred for example. But that isn't common knowledge with corgis. Not a lot of people know what corgis are bred for. They thought they were just bred for general companionship and not to actually do a job. And so that was one of the things that I really, really wanted to make sure was a message that people got out there and that people understood. And there's been a couple people that have commented on my video saying that they didn't know all these things about corgis and that it makes them second guess if they want a corgi, which, I mean, it's not like I want to say I'm happy about that, but I am, really. Because at least they're recognizing that it's a dog that maybe they're not able to own. And that's not a bad thing. The other thing that I wanted to show is how smart Corgis are, Pembroke Welsh Corgis are. They are listed as the 11th smartest breed. Maslow himself knows about 200 tricks. He's extremely, extremely intelligent. He can learn a new trick in about 15, 20 minutes, depending on the difficulty level. And that's something else that you don't really see in social media at all. You don't see their intelligence portrayed. One of the other things that I wanted to show was how stubborn they are. And the stubbornness and the intelligence has been one of our biggest training challenges with Maslow and his sports and his obedience. All that stuff is his intelligence and his stubbornness have been really, really difficult to train, really, because I have a better idea of kind of, what works best for him now. It's been a lot easier because I know what works best for him, but figuring that out along the way definitely wasn't easy. And so, because of all the issues and the aspects I listed above, a lot of corgis can develop behavioral issues. So, a lot of corgis that you see in rescues have behavioral issues because a lot of people don't realize that they are a smart working dog. And a lot of people aren't really prepared to handle that. And so they get these little tiny border collies and expect them to be this social media dog that they see all over Instagram. And that's just not the case, you know? So that was definitely, a couple of the reasons that I started our social media pages. Another reason that I started it was to portray a dog that wasn't a border collie. No hate to border collies, I love them. But show a dog doing these really athletic, smart things that wasn't your typical athletic and smart dog that you see out there. And to help inspire people to work with a dog that you don't think can do some of these things, you know? For example, corgis in barn hunt. Corgis weren't bred to hunt rats or vermin or whatever. Sniffing is definitely, a natural thing for dogs, so I wouldn't say it's far off, but it's not exactly what he was bred for. All the trick training I do with him, I mean, no dog is really bred to do trick training, right? But I wanted to inspire people to work with their dogs in a fun environment. I wanted to show some tutorials in a fun environment, I very much believe that the more you work with your dog, the better it is for your dog. And it doesn't always have to be about obedience, It can be just about tricks in general. The more you work with your dog, the more you bond with your dog, and the more that that's going to help you in the long run, for sure. Now, I have noticed with his social media, with him being a corgi in general, that's kind of what helped us gain some attention in the beginning because everyone loves corgis, right? Everyone loves corgis. So, him just being a corgi in general definitely helped us get an audience. But I think what made them stick around is all the amazing stuff that he can do. And now that I'm in the world of corgis, and in the world of social media, I don't notice, or maybe it's just not popping up for me, I don't notice the portrayal of them that bad anymore. But in my various Facebook groups, I still see people doing the excuse of, well, that's a corgi for you. Well, that's what corgis do. And I don't like that excuse, you know. I just because that's how they are doesn't mean you can't train them and you can't do stuff with them. Just because they're stubborn doesn't mean you have to listen to them when they're being stubborn. And I think we know already in general that social media affects us. You know, it affects the beauty standards of everything. And I think it's also affected how we see various dog breeds as well. And I think the Pembroke Welsh Corgi has definitely gotten swept up in that for sure. So with our social media, we're looking to change that narrative. And that's how it started, is changing that social stereotypical social media narrative. And so we had started when he was young with his Instagram page. And it started like any other Instagram page. I have just a cute corgi pictures and a cute corgi doing cute things. Like it started with him as a puppy. I think everyone, when they get a puppy, they start an Instagram page for their dog, right? And then it changed a little bit, and I wanted to do more video, like vlogging type of content. And so I started a Facebook page for him, where I could kind of show more videos of new things that we are working on with him. Because for him, I mean, his biggest thing was tricks, right? So I was wanting to show more of that progression for him and all the tricks he had learned and all the new stuff he had learned and all the stuff he had currently learned. You know, I would post on there like, Maslow's learned a new trick. Look at this. So videos have always been our strong suit versus pictures for the content that we try to create. Videos are just a better form of that. And I believe we started our TikTok page the December before the pandemic hit. So December of 2019, we started just a little bit early. And I remember I posted just some like stupid videos. I had gift wrapped Maslow and Lexi, and So I just posted videos of me like gift wrapping my corgis. And really, I had created the video for our Facebook page. But then I was like, well, I guess I'll try this TikTok thing out because I hear it's kind of like Vine. And it ended up doing pretty well there. I got like 1,000 views or something like that. And then I just kind of kept posting on there because I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. This is just all about videos and our whole, you know, goal was achievable through video. So I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And so we just kind of continued posting videos on there of just all the tricks that Maslow can do. And I remember the first video that went popular for him, there was a makeup trend going around with that, like, snow miser, heat miser song. You know, you do half of your face like winter ice themed, the other half of your face like heat summer themed, fire summer themed. So I had done that with him using some temporary dog color, some chalk pens. And so I had done that trend, but with Maslow. So the first video that got popular had nothing to do with dog training. But I mean, it got his face out there. It got I think it's up to 1 million views now. Yeah, that was the first one that was around. That was if January or like December, like right around Christmas time, 2019. And so that was the first video that got views, and we got a good number of followers from that. And I just kind of kept posting more content. I kept posting more of his trick videos. I did post a couple like little tutorials, but we weren't big in tutorials at that point. And then I remember posting some video of him wiping his paws on a carpet. And that was the one that like blew up, went viral. It's got like 2 million views or 3 million views, something crazy like that. TikTok even showed it on their Instagram story, shared it on their Instagram story. Like that one definitely blew up, and we got a lot of followers from that. And we've had other videos, you know, get a lot of good views, but I always come back to that video because that's what kind of started my tutorial posting and what started us, like, creating more trick tutorials for everyone to see was that video. And just from then on, I just kept posting more and more videos, more and more tutorials, and I would just ask people, like, what do you guys want to see? He knows X amount of tricks. And the tricks have increased over time. Like, I think at the point I was like, he knows 100 tricks. Now I'm like, he knows 200 tricks. What do you guys want to learn? And so there's been people that have been following us from the beginning and just seeing his progression in tricks and sports. And as we get more popular, I keep getting more and more comments that are like, oh, wow, corgis can do that. I never knew that. Or like, you have inspired me to teach my dog some new tricks. And I'll get comments like, how do you teach this? And I'm like, I got you. I'll show you how to teach that. And we have up to 101,000 followers on TikTok right now. That's our biggest audience. We have recently started posting to Instagram Reels. So if you're not on TikTok, we do also have a lot of tutorials on our Instagram Reels account. Our Instagram account using Instagram Reels. So there's a lot of tutorials on there, but I have noticed, you know, these short form video contents, that's what's really popular now, really, really popular now. And so I see that carrying over to so many other forms of social media. You know, you have Instagram with Reels, you have Snapchat with Spotlight. You even have YouTube Shorts that just recently came out with their short form video version. So these short form videos are just king right now. Like, they're just what the most popular thing in social media is. So I hope to continue. I hope to continue showing more of what actual corgi ownership looks like. I hope to show more of what corgis can actually do. And I hope to inspire more people with, you know, maybe not the typical working dog or typical trick dog to work with their dogs and just have fun. I preach so much about trick training. That'll probably be a whole different episode. But just a trick training is the easiest sport to get into. And the cheapest sport to get into. Mezzo, what you barking at? Mezzo adding his commentary here. What are you barking at? So, yeah, I will have to make a whole different episode on trick training because there's so much that I can say about that. But I hope this has given you a little bit of insight on why I started some social media pages for corgis and how the actual corgi differs from the social media corgis you see probably flooding your feed every day. So this has been Wigglebutt Wednesday. Come back, join us next week, and we will talk more corgi things. Have a good one, guys. Corgi Confident is for educational purposes only. Please contact a vet, trainer, groomer, or other pet professional in your area for help. Want more corgi content? Make sure to follow Maslow the Trick Corgi on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And if you have a question, you can email us at corgiconfidentpodcast@gmail.com. This is the Corgi Queen, signing off.